Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos Kuf Dal. We're on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis in the 12th parak of the Masechta, talking about the mitzvah of Chalitza. So yesterday we talked about the shoe at length. We talked about the shoe. Not only did we talk about the shoe, we talked about the foot. So in order for the Chalitza to be done, there has to be a person that presents a foot and a shoe. Okay, that's the general. The details is what we discussed more in more detail yesterday. Regarding the actual shoe itself, the shoe itself has to be made up of leather, although that's machlokas tanaim. As far as the foot is concerned, so the foot has to be the right foot, that part's clear. How much of the right foot must be presenting, so we discussed that yesterday also, anatomically, meaning even if the person is missing a foot but has got a stump that goes below the knee, that also qualifies as well. Okay, we talked yesterday about a club foot. Okay, anyway, we are continuing. So this is where we left off yesterday on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and a question of when the shoe does not belong to the Yavam. So the Mishnah says that it would be okay b'di'evit. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, na'alo ein le'ela na'alo. So you read the pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says the word na'alo. Na'alo is in the possessive form, which means that it has to belong to him. Now shall call Adam inayin. Okay, good. That means it's his shoe. What if it's not his shoe? What if he borrows a shoe from somebody else? So tamalomer na'al mikom akom. The repeated use of the word na'al in the Torah is a ribui, and it comes to tell me that even if it's not his shoe, even if it's somebody else's shoe, it still would work. Imke matamalomer na'alo. So good. So then it begs the question, why does the Torah say in the possessive form when meanwhile it doesn't have to be possessed by him? So na'alo haru'uya lo. Ah, it means it doesn't have to be owned by him, but it does have to fit him. And that means to say, pralagadol shein yachol lahaloch bo. Let's say that the shoe is so big that he can't walk in it. Pralakatan shein yachofe rov raglo. Or let's say the shoe is so small it doesn't even cover the majority of his feet. So pralasandol hamisulayim shein lo akev. Or if it's a kind of sandal that does not have a heel on it. Again, I'm not exactly sure what I'm describing right now, what the Gemara is describing right now. But anyway, it's got to be a functional shoe. That part's clear, and it doesn't have to be yours per se, but it certainly has to be something that fits you to a certain degree. Abai have a kamei de Rav Yosef asi yavam lachlo. So Abai was in front of Rav Yosef and knew they had a yavam and yavama who were about to do the procedure of chalitza. Amale havle sandalech. So he said, "Give him your shoe," meaning let him borrow your shoe. So Yahiv le sandala desmala. So he gave him his left shoe. Amale emadama rabban di avlachachila miyamar. So he says, wait 1 second. Using the left shoe, and obviously they're going to put it on the right foot because it has to be done on the right foot. We'll discuss that a little bit later on in this parak. But to use the left shoe, we already learned back in our Mishnah that's a din bidi eved. That is not ideal. It is post facto. So over here, what are you doing? You're giving me your left shoe in order to do chalitza. So Amar Lei, so his response to him is Yihachi Sandal Shein Shalom Nami. Emadam Rabban Diyev Lechetchila Miyamor. Look, this is a funny back and forth. He says, look, you're already dealing in B'diyevets. Because what are you doing? You're asking for chalitza to be done with a shoe that's not doesn't belong to him. And the shoe doesn't belong to him. That's also B'diyevet. So already you're in B'diyevet ground. So all I'm doing is I'm adding another b'di'evid. You clearly are not that worried about doing an ideal form of chalitza. Okay, so amalei hachi kamin lachavlei va'aktilei. So he says, no, what I'm saying to you is that let's make a kinyan, meaning in terms of making sure the shoe belongs to him. So we'll make a kinyan, a matana manas lahachzir. However the kinyan is going to be structured. In other words, at the time of the chalitza, so there will be ownership. Albeit temporary, but there's going to be ownership. Okay, but as far as the shoe is concerned, so but obviously we'd prefer the right shoe over the left shoe. Okay, so interesting. From the Mishnah, certainly the sense that you get is that using a shoe that does not belong to him is okay, is acceptable. To what degree? So we just learned in the Gemara that it's not ideal. In other words, what seems to be the ideal is that the shoe be owned by the chalutz at the time. And so that means to say that even though we're going to be using a shoe that was not originally owned by him, but a temporary transaction is preferred. Sandal Shaitz, Mantana Mashmor Rab Meir, he did not. Okay, the Sandal Shaitz now is going according to whom? So the Gemara says it's going like the Shita Rab Meir. How could he also be Kavshlo Div Rab Meir, Rab Yos Yoser? So let's go to a Mishnah Shabbos. Now, we did this yesterday, but let's do it again right now. And that is that you have an amputee, and he uses a prosthetic. Again, the prosthetic is going to be viewed as a shoe. Now, if the prosthetic is going to be viewed as a shoe, so that's helpful to Gabi Shabbos, because on Shabbos you can go on Shabbos wearing clothing. That's a malbush. That's not considered carrying. So as long as the prosthetic has the status of a shoe, sorry, that would be fine. That would be acceptable. So hakotel yotze bekav shel divrei Meir. So according to Rav Meir, that's exactly what can happen. Meaning you can go out with a shoe, and Rav Yossi says no, you cannot. Meaning the shoe is not considered a malbush, and therefore you can't go out with it. And according to Rav Yossi, Rachmanis, but the amputee is going to have to be bound by wherever he can go without wearing that shoe outside. Now, obviously, by the way, if you have an Erev, so then that's fine. Meaning then you'll be allowed to carry, and then there wouldn't be a problem. But anyway, So what comes out over here is as follows. So you see that according to Rameyer, a shoe can have the status of being a shoe, even though it's not made out of leather. Meaning the assumption right now is that this prosthetic is made up of wood. Okay. In other words, it's supporting the weight of this amputee, and it's made up of wood. And yet, according to Rameyer, it has the shame of a shoe. It is designated as a shoe, and that he can walk out with it on Shabbos. Okay, so now let's go all the way back here to the mitzvah of chalitza. So what does the Torah demand by chalitza? It has to be a shoe. But according to Rameyer, since a wooden shoe is a shoe lagabi Shabbos, it's also a shoe lagabi chalitza as well. Good. So when the Mishnah told us that a wooden shoe is acceptable, that's going like the Shita Rameyer. That's all but one approach. The Gemara says, good. I'll give you another approach. Another approach would be is that, yes, it's wood, but it's also, it has a leather exterior. Meaning, basically, somebody wrapped it up in leather. So something that is a wood base but wrapped up with leather is considered a shoe. Okay. Then if that's in fact the case, now we're not limited to the sheet of Rav Meir. We can even go on like the sheet of Rav Yossi as well. Devei Hakol. That's how our mission can be going like everybody. Okay. Amar Papi Mishmei Derava. Okay. Here we go. From here until the Mishnah, it's a short sugya, but an extraordinarily important sugya vis-a-vis whether or not the shoe can be used if it's usur bihana. Okay, so just as a quick background to this discussion over here. So there are a number of objects that are so forbidden that the Torah demands that they be destroyed. Okay, an example which is not practical, but ir hanidachas, right? Anything taken from a city of idolatry, right? The wayward city. So the ir hanidachas. So you take something from that city. Once the city has a designation being an ir hanidachas, you have to take all the possessions of the city, bring it into the center of the city, and burn it. Okay, so that is ir hanidachas, something that was used for avodah zarah. That too also needs to be destroyed under certain circumstances, not all circumstances. But when something has now a designation of we need to destroy it, can it now subsequently be used for something of a mitzvah? So stay tuned. That's what we're going to be discussing right now. Now, we're going to be discussing in areas of halacha that, quite frankly, even for those who have been around in the daf for a while. So these are not things that we're particularly familiar with. So, amra papi mishmei derava. Sandal muzgar lo sach lo tzbo. Mim chalta chilat sasak shira. So let's say you have a sandal, but it is not muchlad, it's muzgar. So we're obviously talking about saras over here. And as we know, there are two forms of saras. There's saras muzgar and muchlad. Muzgar means it's going to be quarantined. And now that could be true by people. It could also be true, as we're seeing right now, regarding shoes as well. Or any article of clothing. Meaning that the symptomatic saras that's on it right now does not give us a definitive declaration of saras, but let's wait and see. Put it away for a week and then take it out a week later and let's compare the saras marking now versus a week from now. Okay? And so during that week now, it's what's called muskar. And what's the halacha regarding muskar? Meaning you don't have to destroy it. You have to let it wait and see whether or not, how exactly the saras develops. On the other hand, if it's mukhlat, so that now tells us that it must be destroyed. There's no other way to deal with it. So you have a chalitza shoe that's musgar. So what does the brisa tell us? So sandal, it's not a brisa. Sorry, it's b'shem rava. Sandal musgar lo sachlutz bovim chalta chalitza sakshera. So it's not optimal, but b'di'evit, if you use a sandal hamusgar, okay, that's fine. So sandal mukhlat lo sachlutz bovim chalta chalitza sapsula. However, once you're using a sandal mukhlat, so So that is not only not optimal, it doesn't work at all. It is pasul legamre to be used. Why should it be pasul legamre? Look at Rashi. Rashi writes over here. Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara. Muchlach alitzas psula de lesreifa kai. Because what you have to do with it now is you have to burn it. And Rashi says, this is a general rule throughout Shas. So, va'anan shi'ura bi'inan. Chofe es rov raglo. V'ha'kitutim echfe shi'urei. And so we need a shear. So, this is an interesting discussion because you need a shear of shoe over here. What's the shear of shoe? So, it's right. So, it's not a shear in the classic sense that it has to be 3 tvachim, 10 tvachim, right? 20 amos. In other words, it's not a measurement per se. It's a shear of functionality. But Rashi over here clearly is of the position that that also qualifies as a shear. And so, therefore, since it has to cover the majority of the foot, and right now, because it needs to be burnt, its destiny of needing to be burnt will inform us right now that it does not represent the shear that you need. Therefore, you're lacking the shear.
If it stands to burn, isn't it something that is burned and it doesn't exist?
Halachically, it doesn't exist, but it's here. It's here, and it's right in front of us right now. And you, meaning you can't wear it because it needs to be burnt, but it's right here. So again, the failure of the of its usage regarding chalitza is because of it does not have it. It halachically does not have the requisite shear. Now the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rava. Now this is Rav Papa B'Shem Rava. The previous was Rav Papi B'Shem Rava. This is Rav Papa B'Shem Rava, and he's of the opinion that whether I use a sandal musgar or a sandal muchlat, both of them are going to be acceptable b'di'evin. Okay, that's difficult to understand. Meaning, doesn't it have to be burnt? Don't we have a requisite shear? Hold that thought. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges based on Muskar Metame Metochum Uchla Metochum Me'acharav Zeveze Metame Bebiya. So you have a bias. You have a house which is Muskar. The house is quarantined. So again, there's Tsaras on the house, and the Kohen says, look, this is a kind of Tsaras where we need to wait and see. So let's wait a week. Let's quarantine the house, and let's wait a week, and let's see how it's going a week from now. So during that week, it's what's called the Muskar. Now, is that house going to be a source of Tumah? So, talui, it depends. If you touch its interior, you're tameh. If you touch the exterior, you're tahor. If you walk inside, you're tameh. Okay, again, basic rules that, I say it's basic, but admittedly, we don't hear a lot about this, even in the daf, so we don't have a lot of familiarity. So again, b'aisa muskar mitameh mitochum mukhla mitochum me'acharav. So when it comes to a house muskar, it's tameh interior. When it's a mukhlat, interior, exterior. And zev zeh, mitame bibiya. Now, if you walk into the house, they both are going to be tame. Isak adacha kidemechta dame. Now, the Gemara says, now, wait 1 second. Right? Remember what you just told me? That kisuse mechta shiure is telling me that that it has to be destroyed. And since it has to be destroyed, so now, don't we not have a house? Much like when the shoe needs to be destroyed, we don't have a shoe, even though the physical shoe is in front of us. Same thing with the house. If it needs to be destroyed, so we simply don't have a house in front of us, even though the physical house is right there. So the Gemara says, Vahabi inan vahaba labais valeka shani hasam. So the Gemara says, yeah, I hear you, but you're wrong. Shani hasam damakrav and natas es habayis. Afilu b'shani titza kare bayis. Okay, so it's a special din, right? It's a special gzeres akasov that, despite the fact that normally you're right, things that are destined to be destroyed are currently considered destroyed. That's normally the case. The house is an exception. Why? Because the Torah says so. Torah says, "Venatatz es habayis," and you will take apart the house. Meaning, even as you're taking it apart, it still has the status of a house. Okay. Don't know if I could say it any better, but it's an exception to the rule. Tashma. The Gemara says, "Okay, let's try to do this again." Matlis sheish bo shalosh. So let's say you have a shmata, and the shmata is 3x3. So again, that's the minimum dimensions of a shmata where it's now going to be able to be mekabel tuma. Alpha b'shem bo kezayis. Now, even though its volume is not a kezayis, now normally when it comes to shmatas, we don't talk in terms of volume. We only talk in terms of surface area. And what we're looking for is 3x3. So good. So anyway, so kevish, and you'll see in just a moment why kezayis even comes up as part of the discussion. Kevish nechnas ruba labayis tahor mi labayis tahor. 3x3, When it comes to a matlis, it's 3x3, it's bos. Now, tfachim, okay, whatever. It's etzbaos. It's etzbaos. It's a much smaller amount. Okay, anyway, and that's a grammar point, by the way. The, shalosh is masculine. I know that's confusing. Shalosh is masculine, and so therefore, it's going on, etzbaos. Am I saying it right? No. Shalosh is feminine. Sorry. Okay. I know. Shlosha is masculine. I know. It's weird. Anyway, for the numbers, it's the opposite. Okay. Anyway. So Shalosh is feminine. So therefore it's going on its bows. Okay. Anyway. I knew I was going to confuse myself. Anyway. So the, so Matli Shesh Bo Shalosh Shalosh Afa Pishem Bo Kazayas Kem Shenichlas Ruba Labayas, Labayas Tahor, Tahor Tam Asahu. Okay. So the, so it's a shmata and it has the shear to be mekabel toma. So the, it's going to be metame the entire house. Meaning, right, the matlis itself is a beged hamanuga. So it's the shmata itself now that has the ras on it. And you bring it into the house, the moment you bring it into the house. So remember, how does tumas ras behave? Much like a mace. So that means to say that it fills up the house with toma. And all the contents of the house, all the kalim in the house, are in fact going to become tameh. So my lav muchlatas lo muzgaris. So the Gemara says, now, are we not talking about muchlat? So no, we're talking about muzgar. So yachim asayif. For the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Let's go on, and that is hayuba kamezesim kev shenichnas mimenu kizayis labayis tahor mitahor tema asuhu. So over here, let's say I have the shmata where not only is it big, but it's really thick as well. And it's got kezais after kezais. Meaning, so this shmata's got multiple kezaisim. So once a kezais of the shmata. Now again, this is a special shmata. It's a shmata manuga. So once it goes into the house, just a kezais of it, the entire house becomes tamei. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. It has to be talking about where the shmata is. What category of manuga. Is it mukhlat or is it muskar? It's mukhlat. It has to be mukhlat. Why? Because we know that when it comes to tamei mukhlat, it's compared to, it is connected to mace. So, and that's why we can talk in terms of kezesim. So the Gemara says, but if we're talking just about muskar, where it's quarantined, the quarantine is not connected to mace, and therefore the word kezais is totally not applicable. So the Gemara says, Shani hasam damakrav, esaraf esabeged, afilu b'shas reifa, kori beged. And again, the Gemara says, okay, you know what? You're right, but again, the beged's going to be an exception. Why? Because once again, we have gzeiras hakasuf. The house as it's being destroyed is considered a house. The beged as it's being destroyed also is considered a beged as well. Okay, so what do we have over here? A number of exceptions to the rule. The rule is that when something needs to be destroyed, now we have it on, of course. So the beged once in the, I'm sorry, the rule is that when something needs to be destroyed via sreifa, so we say ketutim echsa shiure. The house as it's being destroyed, the tzara's house being destroyed is considered a house. Yeah, zeres akasov. The tzara's beged that needs to be destroyed is considered a beged. There too, zeres akasov. Veligmar mine. So the Gemara says, okay, so now why don't we learn from there? Meaning, good. So we just learned together that it is considered a house and a beged, even as it's being destroyed. So why doesn't that become now our prototype? Why don't we learn from there? So Isser mitum alo gamrin. And the Gemara says, yeah, because we're talking here about Isser, meaning we're talking about a shoe used for chalitza. That's Isser veheter. We can't learn from Tuma to Isser veheter. They are categorically different. And so you can't learn from one to the other. Okay, so that was a long sentence, a run-on sentence, if you will, but that was a long sentence. Effectively, what we all just learned together is the following, is that when you are using a sandal that is designated as saras, it's a sandal menuga, so can it be used for the mitzvah of chalitza? So it's a machlokas amaraim, but just to present the first opinion, the answer is no. And it depends whether it's mukhlat or muskar. But if it's mukhlat, you can't. Why? Because once it's mukhlat, now it has to be destroyed. And kol ha'omed lisarv kisarv dami. Although the Gemara is really, first of all, the Gemara doesn't really spell it out. And on top of that, what the Gemara is really focusing on is the idea of ketute mechla shiri. That's the way Rashi presents it. In that you don't have the requisite shear. Why don't I have the requisite shear? Because the shear is asked to cover the majority of the foot. Once we need to burn it, so therefore it simply does not have the requisite shear to cover the majority of the foot. Good. And there are a couple of exceptions in the world of Tsaras where even as it needs to be destroyed, it's still considered as if it's there, but those are exceptions. The house, the beged, but those are the exceptions. Amar Rava. So Rava says, okay, so that was a lot of good discussion. Now let me present the halacha. The halacha is that sandal hamuskar, sandal hamuchlat, sandal shal avodas kochavim, all of the above, you do not do chalitza, v'im chalitza chalitza sakshera. But if you do chalitza with it, so the chalitza would be, post facto, would be kosher. Now, why would it be kosher? So Rashi says, Rashi chalitza sakshera, muchla kedarman shafilu b'shatsrefa kari beged. V'lav meilavu elagilu imil sabalma. So, as Rashi points out over here that, look, we just said moments earlier that a beged is an exception, that even though the beged is a mukhlat, it's still considered a beged. Okay, good. So it's an exception. Rashi points out also that that I know the Gemara just got done saying, yeah, we can't learn out Tumah from Isser. So Rashi says this is a maneuver. It's a tricky maneuver, but Rashi says it. Yeah, this isn't a limud. This is what's called Gilui Milsa. Okay, and basically the idea is that sometimes once something becomes known, it almost becomes like self-evident to go from one point to another point. And it's not, we're not making a jump from one point to another point. It just now becomes self-evident. That's Gilui Milsa. So V'lav Melefu, Ela Gilui Milsa Ba'amahu. Okay, and then, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, V'shal Avodah Kochavim Nami, Holy Hilucha Avinu Mishamshi Avodah Kochavim Lav L'Sreifa Kaimei, Dislei Tekanta Bebitol. Okay, and as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, so you could be mevatel it. Okay, now this gets involved over here, gets very involved in terms of you have an item of Avodah Zarah that can be negated and therefore can be repurposed. Okay, I will, if you don't mind, I see the time and I see where I want to be in about 20 minutes from now. So I'm gonna bypass the discussion in terms of the negation of Avodah Zarah. Rashi over here, Tosfos, lengthy Tosfos over here, discussing this very topic. Anyway, for our purposes right now, Rav is telling us the halacha, which is that if I use a sandal of Tsaras, either Mukhlan or Muska, doesn't matter, or if I use a sandal of Avodah Zarah, here it does matter. Rashi does limit it in terms of what who it belongs to, but b'di'evad, all these would work. However, continues the Gemara, v'im chatzah chalitza shel takrovos avodas kochavim. However, if it was used to as an offering for Avodah Zarah, Vishel Irinidachas, or that of Irinidachas, Vishel Zakinas, or maybe it was used for Tachriche Hameis. So in any one of the above, Lo Sachlos Vimchalsa Chalitza Sapsula, so there the Chalitza would be no good. Okay. So Amale Ravin Le Rav Ashi Mashna Zakinas, Olechvodo, Lavli Lucha Aved, Debeidina, Nami, Lavli Luche Aved. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What's the difference between one and the other? So if I can't pick it up and take it to the basin, that's why it doesn't work. Meaning, and that's the psul regarding something that was used as tachrichin. So the same thing can be said about the above as well. So the Amalei ilu maske beishlucha de beidina mikapit aleha dayane. So the Gemara says, well, no, that's not true. Meaning, let's say I had the shoe of the Beis Din. And one of the Shulche Beis Din said, look, let me borrow it if it's okay with you. Meaning, right, I need to get out there for just a moment. I need to go outside. I need to go, whatever, pick up a sandwich, whatever the case is. Let me borrow the shoe. Let me leave the Beis Din with the shoe. So do you think the Beis Din would be makpid? It's kind of funny. The answer, I might have imagined the answer being yes. Meaning that's our Chalitza shoe. Please don't take it. But anyway, but the point is that, look, when it comes to a shoe used for Tachricha and mace, there it cannot be used, period. Meaning, it belongs to the mace and you cannot be used at all. Masha'in Kane, if a shoe is, let's say, being used generally by Beis Din, it's not within the exclusive domain of Beis Din. It can be taken outside. Okay. What is the what? the shoe that's used is tachrichin, and meaning our minhag is not to use shoes, but. No, the shoes are, the feet are covered.
When they are buried, they have nothing.
No, we have tachrichin, they cover the feet. The feet are covered. Okay, well, you can ask me more later, but they're covered.
They also reference an animal that was slaughtered for an idol tree, and therefore the leather is considered to be unclean.
Right. Right, takrovas avodazar, right. That takrovas avodazar can't be used because that has no shear, meaning that has to be burnt. Okay. Again, quick recap of what we just saw together, and that is the idea that, according to Rava, if something can be used, like a muskar, a mukhlat, or a sandal of avodaz kochavim, so it has a shear, and therefore it's going to be okay. And therefore it will be acceptable. Again, by mukhlat and muskar, it's a technical point over there. It does have a shear. Why? So let's call it a gilui milsa. That's the way Rashi describes it. Okay, it has a shear. And when it comes to the sandal of avodah zarah, so again, the way Rashi presents it, it also has a shear. Why? Because the avodah zarah could be mevatala. But once it's in a position where it does not have a shear, for example, takrovas avodah zarah, for example, tachrich emes, for example, the shoe that belongs to Nir Nidachas. So once it does not have a shear, so then it cannot be used as a shoe for the chalitza. Okay, that's the basic idea. We are in Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. We continue now with the next Mishnah. Mishnah, chalitza b'layla chalitza sekshera v'Rabbi Elazar posel. Chalitza is done at night. So is that good or no good? Machlokes hatanayim. We'll discuss more of it in just a moment. B'smol chalitza sepsula Rabbi Elazar machshir. What if you do it with the left foot? So that also is a machlokes. Now, previously in the Mishnah prior, we talked about doing chalitza with the right foot, but the left shoe. And we said, that's not optimal, but that certainly will work. Good. What we're discussing today, in today's daf, is going to be, what if I'm doing chalitza with the left foot? Meaning she's taking off the shoe off of his left foot. So is that going to be good? So once again, machlokes atanayim, much to discuss over here. Let's start the discussion right now. Lema, behakamifli, marsava machin and ribim linagai, marsava lo machin and ribim linagai. So, what's that odds over here is the following. Meaning we're talking about doing chalitza at night and the Mishnah brings down a machlokas. What is the machlokas a predicate of? The Gemara suggests right now that maybe it's a function of whether or not we're going to connect Riv to Nega. Now when it comes to Nega, Nega can only be seen during the day. Do you know why? Because I need daylight in order to see Negaim. Or when I say I don't mean I mean Kohanim. Kohanim are going to be looking at the Negaim, but they need to see it in daylight. So therefore they can only be seen during daylight. So maybe the same thing is true regarding Rivim. Now, Rivim is just basically adjudication, meaning there's litigation that needs to be done, and it needs to be adjudicated in a court. And so if I make a hekesh between the two, so just like Nega is only done during the day because that's the only time you can do it, so maybe the same thing is true regarding Riv as well, regarding litigation and adjudication. So the Gemara says no. The Kuleyama, and oh, by the way, and an important oh, by the way, and when it comes to Chalitza, that's considered a din. You know, where's the monetary aspect of chalitza? Actually, really big monetary aspect of it, Rashi reminds us. Because at the end of the chalitza, do you know what's going to happen? She's going to get her ksuva payout. Meaning, when she becomes widow, she does not get the ksuva payout, especially in the case where there's a yibum circumstance. So that's going to be, her ksuva payout is going to be held in abeyance. Because remember, if the yavam does yibum to her, so then all the ksuva that's going to happen is it's going to get rolled over to her new husband. Obviously, she doesn't get a dime. She does get a new husband. If in the event that he does chalitza to her, now the ksuva payment is actually going to get paid out. That will represent a payout. So chalitza does represent a significant monetary benefit towards her. That's why it falls under the category of civil law. So the Gemara says, "Umar sevelo machin reivin l'negayim." Look. So the Gemara says, so maybe that's the issue in our Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, that's not the issue. Nice try, but no. Dekulei amalo makshin and rivel negaim. According to everybody, there we don't make a hekesh between the two. E makshin afilu Gemara din b'layla namilo. Because had there been a hekesh, so then here's the conclusion, which we know is not the correct conclusion, which is that you can finish civil law at night. Now that's not true. Meaning civil law can start during the day and can be concluded at night. We learned that in Sanhedrin. So, and if in fact we made a hekesh, that wouldn't have been the conclusion. And so therefore, there is no hekesh. So v'hacha b'hakem iflegi, mar sefer chalitza kitchilas din, damya mar sefer chalitza kikmar din damya. Ah, so now basically the question is as follows. Look, we know that when it comes to civil law, it has to be started during the day, can be concluded at night. That's a given. Those are the known entities. Now, as we look towards chalitza, is chalitza considered the beginning or is chalitza considered the end? Okay. Now, to look at it at the end is really easy because it really is it's the end. Meaning it's the end of the relationship. It's the severance of, right? But I was thinking the same thing. Maybe from her perspective, maybe it's the beginning for her. Okay. Anyway. So if chalitza is viewed as the beginning, so then, just like the beginning of civil law can only be done during the day, this can only be done during the day. Masha'in Kain, if we view it as an end, okay, so now, it can be done at night, much like civil law can be concluded at night as well. Rabbi Barchia, Ketusfa Avarubda Bemok Vichidav Alayla. So, Rabbi Barchia, so he was very creative in the way he did a chalitza. So number one, he used a mok. Okay, it's a kind of shoe, but it's not a leather shoe. Number two, he did not have an entire Beis Din. He just did it with one dayan. And number three, he did it at night. Huh? Very, very creative. So Amr Shmuel Kama Rav Guvrai Davi Kichidash. So Shmuel says, wow, what a great man who does it in such a manner. Now what you have to hear, and hopefully I gave it away with my tone, you gotta hear the sarcasm over here. Meaning, he wasn't saying it in a flattering way. He was saying it in a tone of, wow, you're right. You're so great. Look at all these creative maneuvers over here that you're doing. So my kasha emokes tamatanya. So the Gemara says, okay. So where do we see the real creativity over here? So first of all, as far as moke is concerned, so yes, I know it's controversial, but we do have a stam mishnah that we saw in yesterday's daf that said that moke is acceptable. And Eli la stamatanya, and also doing it at night. Again, we know it's controversial, but at least there's a Stam Mishnah that says that you can do it at night. But doing it as not part of a three-man Beis Din, but doing it as one-man Beis Din, that there's no real support for that. In fact, we learned in the Mishnah. We're going to learn together in the Mishnah. So Chalza B'Shem Shosha Nimsa Echad Meim Karva Pasa Chalitza Sapsula. So if you do it, in front of two or three, and one of them turns out to be Karva Pasul, then it's no good. They say that's fine, meaning despite the fact that one of them, you're only going to have one dayan. There was a chalitza done in jail, and it came in front of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says that it's kasher. We'll talk more about that later on. Anyway, but the point is that there's no anonymous Mishnah that supports the idea that you can be overseeing a chalitza with one judge. There's opinions out there, but there's no Stam Mishnah that supports that. Or you could just simply say, it was all controversial, every aspect of it. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Ani Reisis, Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Elisha, Shechalitz, Bamok, Bechida, Valayla. I saw Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Elisha. Meaning, there's a Tana that says that you could do it. But that's it. It's just a Tana. Meaning that the majority opinion is that it cannot be done by Mok, it cannot be done by Chida, and it can't be done by Laila. Okay, so basically, a full criticism of every aspect of what he did. Oh, you did it with a non-leather shoe? Well, that's really controversial. Ah, you did it at night? That's really controversial. You only did it with one judge? Again, that's really controversial. Bismol Chalitzasa v'chulei. Okay, now, So, machlokis in our Mishnah, whether or not chalitza can be done, at night, it's a machlokis in our Mishnah, but the Stam, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that, it is certainly not an ideal. And the chalitza should principally be done during the daytime. Next. What if you do off of the left foot of the Yavam? So, that too is subject to a machlokas in our Mishnah, the Gemara discusses. My time at the Rabbanan Amru Le'yafalim Rega Regumim Mitzorah Amalalim Dimin Afkan Dimin. So let's go to the Mitzorah. So as far as the Taharas and Mitzorah is concerned, so without going through the details of the Taharas and Mitzorah, there are a number of occasions throughout Shas that we get to see this in detail. Okay, but we're just not going to do it right now. Anyway, you want to see the details inside the Chumash, open up to the 14th parak of Vayikra, where there you're going to read it in detail, you're going to learn it in detail, but meanwhile, for our purposes right now, all you need to know is that the right leg is part of the procedure of Taharas HaMetzora. And so you have the word regal over there. We know it's the right leg. We have the word regal over here. We now are going to learn via, let's call it a Gzeira Shava, it's going to be the right. So, V'rebbe Elazar lo yalef regal regal mimetzora. Now, as far as Rav Elazar is concerned, he doesn't learn out of Gzeira Shava. The Gemara says, really? Are you sure about that? V'atanya, we learned in the price, Rav Elazar, Meminayin L'Ritzi HaShiba, Ozen HaYamanis. So what about our Eved Ivri who elects after 6 years? You know what? I'm really liking it with you over here. I really like it over here. Let's continue this relationship. I want to be your Eved Ivri for a really long time. Okay, so we know what happens at that point in time, and that is he's going to get an ear pierced. Which ear? The Torah doesn't say. The Torah just simply says a ear. But, or an ear, sorry. And we're going to learn via Gzeira Shava that's going to be the right ear. How do we know that? So here, let's listen together. So Rabbi Elazar says we're going to learn it via Gzeira Shava from none other than the Mitzora. The Mitzora, the Torah says, the right ear. So now we're going to take the Ozen, which we know is the right ear by the Mitzora. We're going to learn via Gzeira Shava over to the Eved Ivri. So Rabbi Elazar, you are perfectly comfortable making a Gzeira Shava from Mitzora to Eved Ivri. So why aren't you comfortable making a Gzeira Shava from Mitzora over to the Chalitza? So Amar Rav Yosef bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan Mechlefes Hashita. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll have to do is we'll have to switch names around in order that everyone's consistent. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Lo'olam Lo Tepach. Rava says, no, I don't need to switch names around. In other words, all this would work even without switching names. How so? Ozen, Ozen, Mufne, Regal, Regal, Lo Mufne. Because what we're going to do is that we're going to judge the strength of Gzeira Shava. As far as Gzeira Shava is concerned, that gets us from Ozen of the Mitzora to Ozen of the Eved Ivri. That's a Mufne Gzeira Shava. We're both words are superfluous. You know, we all know the rules. We've done this a number of times. And that is when the words themselves are superfluous, that allows for a stronger Gzeira Shava. Even something that's challengeable, we do not challenge it if it's Mufna. And on the other hand, when it comes to the Gzeira Shava to go from, from the Chalitza over to the Mitzora, it's not Mufna. V'chilo Mufna my pir chayika. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not Mufna. So it's not a super strong Gzeira Shava. The Gemara says, okay, but still it is a Gzeira Shava. The only way we're going to upend it is only if there's a challenge. Do you have a challenge? The Gemara says, yeah, I do. Ika lemifrech ma lemitzora shekein taun eitz eres ve'ezov v'shnei talas. Okay, when you take a look at the Mitzora, look at the extra things that the Mitzora needs. He needs all the accoutrements of a Mitzora. Again, open up to the Parshas Mitzora in the 14th parak, and you're going to read it all inside. Anyway, there's a lot of extra halachas that are necessary over there that are not needed by the Chalitza. Okay, so that means, meaning to say that I can't just simply compare the two. If the Gzeira Shava was a Mufna Gzeira Shava, Mufna Mishnei Tzadim, okay, good. So then I can ignore all that. But I can't ignore all that considering the fact that it's a weaker Gzeira Shava. Okay, and this is not the greatest place to stop, but we'll stop over here. And tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah. It will be a new topic. Anyway, let's quickly recap our daf today. Number one, our first discussion today was the shoe. Does it have to belong to the chalutz? So the answer is no, but preferable. And in fact, the story we saw where Kenya was made so that the shoe temporarily belonged to the brother-in-law. Okay, we talked about a wooden prosthetic. As long as the stump goes below the knee, a wooden prosthetic is viewed as a shoe. It's made out of wood. It's not made out of leather. So either it belongs to the Shita of Rav Meir, who allows for a wooden shoe. Alternatively, it is it's got a layer of leather around it, and that could be different outcome. Okay, a technical discussion, but really important discussion regarding shiurim, meaning that when it comes to the shoe, it has to fit the majority of the foot. And if the shoe is now destined to be destroyed, so halacha now will look at it in its current state as if it's already destroyed, and now it does not have the requisite shear. This is the idea of kisuse mechtat shiure, in which the Gemara goes, I'm really going to condense the entire discussion. Basically, the Gemara says that if it's something which is salvageable, like the Mitzora shoe, whether it's Mukhlar or Muskar, this is the conclusion of the Gemara, or whether it's Avodah Zarah, but it belongs to a guy, where it does not, where halacha does not view it as if it's currently destroyed, then it's acceptable b'di'evit. But if it's something that halacha views right now as being destroyed, even though it's not yet physically destroyed, so then it's kesusei mechtzah shirei, and therefore you don't have the requisite shoe for the mitzvah. And finally, our last discussion, two debates in the Mishnah on Kuftal Madal. Number one, chalitza at night. Good or no good? That's a machlokas. What is the nekuda machlokas? Whether chalitza is viewed as the beginning of din, or whether it's viewed at the end, as the end of din. Okay, second issue, is chalitza done from the left foot of the brother-in-law, of the yavam? Is that going to be good? That's a machlokas also amongst the Tanayim. And what seems to be the issue over here is whether or not we have a gzera shava, or we have a weaker gzera shava that could be compromised and poked holes at via a pircha.